Welcome to Follow to Lead, where we discover how to listen for and follow God's call so that we might lead others to God. Our shared stories of inspiration from religious leaders and those active in the educational ministry of the church can help you know better how God is calling you and the role passionate Catholic education plays in spreading His message of faith, hope, and love. Now please welcome the hosts of Follow to Lead, Father Randy Sly and Kyle Pietrantonio.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ the teacher, teach us to listen. Teach us to do the deep listening to the sounds of our soul, waiting to hear your voice calling us to cast out deeper, to become fishers of men and women, shepherds of souls, to follow your will in order to lead others to the truth, beauty, and goodness only you can offer. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Well, welcome to Follow to Lead, a journey twice a month into the world of Catholic education and our faith, exploring what it means to follow God in order to lead others to Him. I'm Father Randy Sly, your host. Today, we will be talking with Michelle Sagarino, the president of Cross Catholic Outreach in Boca Raton, Florida. And Michelle has nearly three decades of experience in nonprofit leadership. After graduating from the University of Maryland, she began service for various charitable organizations, including the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, Gateway Community Outreach, and Food for the Poor. She joined Cross Catholic Outreach in 2004, where she served as vice president for development for 15 years, and then as president. And Cross Catholic Outreach gives her an opportunity to really unite her faith and her passion for the world. So, Michelle, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Father Sly. Thank you so much. It's great to be here today. Very nice.
We're so delighted to have you with us. And as we do with all of our guests, we'd like to begin by giving you an opportunity to kind of share a little bit about yourself, about your upbringing, and other details that might be interesting.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I grew up in Maryland and Virginia for my early childhood, and always felt that throughout college, I would start my own company. I really liked to build things. I was interested in marketing and economics, and did that. I was very blessed to come to Florida and start a company. And I could feel God really calling me in a different route. So as my husband continued on that journey, I believe that God had a deeper road for me to be on. And He ignited my faith in a deeper way and called me to serve. So as you mentioned, I was so humbled to be able to be alongside families, helping to find a cure for cystic fibrosis. And I enjoyed that so much, but I had a real turning point in my life when I began to work internationally. And when I look at myself, I think, I don't know how I ended up here because I'm probably not the likely person. I didn't have an education in development internationally, but I was called and I was sent overseas on a surprise visit to several partners that an international charity supported. And at the time they supported programs that were run by the government, but also mostly lay missionaries, Catholic missionaries, priests and nuns. Well, this surprise visit took me to a home for children who suffered with disabilities, and we had provided food. And the leaders of that did not know we were coming. And when we came, Father, what I saw was just devastating. The food that we had provided was literally not utilized to the best of their ability. The children literally were in sitting on a cement platform with cage bars up to the ceiling. And it was heart-wrenching. And I just couldn't imagine what, you know, even though our purpose was good, it wasn't used well and these children's dignity were not upheld. And I saw the same experience in an elderly home run by the government. So then the third stop was a home run by sisters, an old age home. And the same food we provided to both of those places prior that were government run, provided to the sisters with the love of the Lord in their service, went so much further. It was beautifully kept. And we even did a food distribution out to the community. So God took me at that moment and really showed me, Michelle, no transformation can happen without Christ in the center. And I believe at Cross Catholic Outreach, that is really our most important pillar. All transformation happens with the Lord in the center.
This shift from the corporate sector to the nonprofit world, that's a big shift. What was going through your mind as you made that move into the nonprofit world, and especially as you began to look globally? Was it a sense of mission that drove you, or what was it that really took you there?
Good question, Father. It's a big difference to produce and be successful versus being obedient. And I just saw such obedience in the sisters. I saw the love that comes when you're obedient to your calling. And I felt, although I wasn't aware of what it's like to work in developing countries at the time, and I didn't have that experience, that I felt at peace that that's what I should be doing. I felt him calling me, and I knew he would provide the way to be able to do that.
Right.
And I was thankful. Like, I just felt like I was home and still stretched. We all have felt
Right.
that, haven't we? Still stretched.
So, your work with Cross Catholic Outreach is one that is international, and it really kind of extends over a number of different foci that you're working on. Many of our audience may not really know much about Cross Catholic Outreach. Could you kind of give us a little bit of an overview of the whole ministry?
Oh, my favorite topic. Of course, I could do that. One reason I love the name of your podcast, Follow to Lead, is as I've mentioned, Christ is so central to all that we do. Our mission statement will give you a good idea. We mobilize the global Catholic Church to transform the poor and their communities materially and spiritually for the glory of Jesus Christ. So, since our beginning in 2001, Jim Kavner is our founder. Since our beginning, we have been able to provide over $4 billion worth of aid in over 90 countries, helping the most vulnerable, the poorest of the poor. And we do that, which I think is one of the most fantastic models, is we do this through our beautiful church, through the bishops, through the priests, through the nuns and the Catholic missionaries that are perfectly capable, be some of the best leaders I've ever met in my entire life, but are lacking resources. And we help them to build homes. We help them to educate children, to provide microfinance programs, health programs. And most importantly, right now, we feel God's calling to provide water. And we know that over 2 billion people around the world do not have access to clean, safe, abundant water. And so many of the missionaries that we serve are asking for this. So we do so much across the world, and we have long-term partnerships. These long-term partnerships with the priests, the nuns, and the missionaries allow us to bring in many programs and to listen, like you brought it. Let's listen. Let's hear what they want to do, what's God calling them to do. So this year we have a challenge, a clean water challenge called Wells of Salvation. And it's one of the 90 programs that we're supporting, but this is a bigger umbrella. This year, we want to provide 109 wells in two countries, in Zambia which I don't know if the listeners have heard, has experienced one of the worst cholera outbreaks in years. And in Malawi, Zambia and Malawi, 109 wells. So that will impact 49,000 people, that they'll have clean water for life. And this is just one section of what we do, but this is where God's calling us to, let's really step out in faith. Let's challenge ourselves.
Well, this is one of the things we do want to really focus on today is that clean water initiative, because I know there are ways in which Catholic schools can be involved and parishes can be involved in really having a part in providing this. And
Absolutely.
you know, one of the things, and I just need to say it before we move on, that really hit me, and I've spent my entire adult life really in basically the nonprofit world, both in church and in other ministries and organizations. And I was so impressed with the fact that over 94% of your expenses actually go to your programs overseas. That is wonderful fiscal responsibility. And I think that's a wonderful testimony to how you want to actually make things happen in the world.
Well, thank you, Father. You can see our impact in some of those statistics at crosscatholic.org, but you bring up such an important fact. We need to be good stewards. How are we able to do that? We don't have thousands of people all around the world from the United States running these programs. As I mentioned, we're coming alongside the long-term partners that God has called to be there, the Caritases within the diocese internationally, the bishops and the priests. And so that helps us to be effective fiscally. However, I think it's a Catholic social teaching of subsidiarity, ensuring that those closest to the situation, those that have the most knowledge, are leading. So thank you for pointing that out. We're proud of it as well.
Well, let's look at the process of your clean water initiative. What is the description of this particular mission of Cross Catholic?
We have it within the water sector. We believe in lifting up, as I mentioned, the leaders of the program. So it can look very different in a Kenya versus a Zambia and Malawi that we're focused on here. But what does remain the same, and we see this in our lives, is that community involvement is critical, or nothing transforms. Right. And so we go into the communities and ask the leaders, what is it that you see the need is, openly. So to see if water even rises up. And of course, everywhere, water is one of the first needs. So we talk to the community and survey and also listen of where is the most need, which community in your area has the most need, which families, which households. And then we begin to survey that area, make sure that the titles are owned and support the leadership in that, and survey it to see where is the best water, one source to drill for water. One example of this is, we've had many wells that we try to drill across the world. Many of us are supporting water, and it would be dry. We've seen wells from other charities that, when they're not drilled deep enough to survive dry season, aren't any good. So we've learned that. And so we come alongside of the partners and share, and then bring in a professional company. They select a local professional company to drill the well. But I would say the one of the most important aspects is then there's training, there's health training, there's wash training, being able to ensure that what the water's being placed in is clean. And just different tricks to teach the children to be able to make sure that they're washing their hands properly and all these things. And then lastly, the community that has formed a committee will watch over the well as it goes on year after year after year. So each community member is asked to give a small portion into the fund to ensure that if something needs to be fixed, it can be, right? What good is a well in 2 years if there's something broken on it?
One of the things that intrigues me about this is, again, a lot of times, at least in my mind and maybe the minds of others, when you think of water issues in the world, you mostly think about a lack of water. But one of the big things is really contamination, that people are drinking out of what's available, and it's causing significant health problems. What types of challenges are the people facing in the countries where you're currently dwelling, or drilling, rather?
A very good question. The lack of access to water creates, as you mentioned, many health issues. I highlighted in Zambia, the cholera outbreak is the highest it's ever been. Within the first 6 weeks of this new year, as we're celebrating and putting our vows of what we're going to do the rest of the year to be better Catholics, better Christians, over 500 people died from the cholera outbreak in Zambia. So the impact is huge. On a day-to-day basis, it impacts the health to the tune in Malawi, six times the amount of children die before age one than in the United States. That's from health. Uh-huh. Health issues, most of which, I would say 80% of which, or 90%, are from contaminated water. So I wake up in the morning and I'm a young girl. I would like to be this, like 10, 12, 15 years old. What does my day look like in these countries? Well, girls are the water carriers of the world. And I don't know if you've ever seen, or the audience has ever seen the jerry cans, the 5 gallon buckets.
Right.
That many people around the world, internationally, in rural areas, can carry those on their head. Mm-hmm. That can full of water weighs 40 pounds. 40 pounds on their head. The girls often get up at 2 a.m, 3 a.m, and can walk up to 10 hours. Now, maybe in some areas it's 2 or 3. It's a long time to get into the queue to get water from many times a site that's a dug hole, a contaminated water source. So you can see the color of the water is green or murky. And what lies beneath that is many, many waterborne illnesses ready to enter into these people's systems. As a mom or a dad, I think they're choosing daily between, do I not give my child water, which we can't live without water, right? Or do I give them water that could also hurt them?
Mm-hmm.
And they realize this, but the choice, there's no choice. And because there's so many animals around, a lot of times that's people's livelihood, right? Those animals are providing the minimal amount of money that they receive to help their children. But the animals are also in that water. The animals are also, you know, disposing of waste by that water. And all this multiplies the problems. And lastly, I would say that at 2 a.m, 3 a.m, I've been there where I've heard different animals howling and, you know, zebras, lions. There are all sorts of animals that are also by this water that could cause harm.
Mm-hmm.
So the lack of water, it creates this reality of bad health, but it stops the dreams and hopes of so many people. A hope for a mom or a dad that their child could go to school, a hope that your child is healthy, a hope for a young girl that never has gone to school because her role is carrying water. And it really provides so much more exponentially.
The website has a beautiful video of the Wells of Salvation project that I loved watching. And one of the things that was, I think, to me, one of the great focal points was to actually see the well in operation and hear these individuals, men and women, are pumping, or even children, pumping the well and all of this clean water coming out and filling the buckets. What's it like to be there when this well has been dug and all of a sudden they're getting clean water. What are some of the responses you've seen?
Well, first of all, these people have many times, these rural communities have been promised so much. We'll come back and build you a well.
Right.
We'll do this. And they have been left without that answered prayer. And it is their prayer. And so when we come alongside and we stay for the long haul, we make friends and we bond together. And the local ministry is there day in and day out, right? Showing them the living water of Christ daily. When that water turns on, the joy is, it'll make you cry. The joy is so palatable. They can't even imagine. It's clear. Like, this is clear water. And I think it reinforces in them answered prayers. The priests, the nuns, the catechists, the leaders in the community have shown them a different truth. I am here. My word is true. I'm next to you. I'm not perfect, but I'm next to you. We're doing this together. And you feel that. It brings the community together and it builds trust within the community itself, from what I've seen.
The pictures that are also there of showing, I saw one picture. There was a priest. It looks like he was blessing the well,
Yes.
and so all of the people are gathered around, and so it does. It brings about a unification of the church and the community. The issue of, again, the living water of Jesus and the water of life that actually now is coming out of the ground.
I so agree. And, we've had in one of the communities someone say, our leaders have left us. Our gods have provided nothing. Your God has provided the answer to our prayers. I want to know about your God. And, Father, one priest shared with us that he had many outstations to go to, and he would celebrate Mass, and there'd be no one there. And one or two people, under a tree, he'd be there waiting and be one or two people. And I had the beautiful, beautiful privilege to visit after several years of the water committee working. The church is established, schools are being supported. As I told you, we have many different
Right.
programs coming alongside to support the water program. And took me to this tree to be able to, share and talk with some of the community. Hundreds of people came. They walked miles and miles. And I look over at the crowd, and this one young boy, I want to say like 15, 14, weaves his way through, and he must have prayed for 20 minutes, thanking God for the water that was provided. Just naturally found his way right up. When you have to say something, when the Lord kind of says, all right, you got to say something. It was beautiful. So true transformation, not just the material, but the spiritual as well.
Most of the audience, I'm sure, have never been to Africa, have not traveled like that. And it's one of those places not like home. And yet, we here in our nation can really be involved with you in this. And I know that you have ways that schools can participate in the Wells of Salvation Challenge. And since our audience is made up of primarily Catholic school administrators and educators, how can schools get involved?
Thank you for asking that. If the schools go to crosscatholic.org and /Lent, you're going to see this is our Lent program across schools, individuals, so many materials that we've been created. We have created, excuse me. We really believe in partnering with the schools. We want to provide faith and action activities and ways to give alms for you so that they understand and can feel closer to our brothers and sisters overseas. So we have a Lenten activity guide, 2024 Lenten activity guide. It has all different activities highlighting the gospel reading for each week throughout Lent, and then tying in what is it like to live in Zambia? What is it like to live in Malawi or these other countries? What is a child's life? And creating different hands-on activities that they can do, like making a cup. And instead of the cup for drinking, it's to put some of your loose change in to provide water. Because those 49,000 people that we are hoping to bless with water, schools can come around and support. It's only $23 a person, $23 a person to have water for a lifetime. So every bit can really help. And then we try our best. One of our guiding principles is to be able to update the children so that they can see what is happening, what their effort has accomplished. They can feel closer and see the similarities to the children that they're supporting. And many of the stories in the activity booklet are all relating to what a child's life is like.
So, are there some good stories that you have in terms of how schools have been involved in the past that might kind of be an encouragement to our listeners?
Yes. We have here in Florida a very small rural school, very, very small. And it really helps a lot of the poorest in this area. It's very, very powerful. Little nun runs it and just adores her. I adore her. Well, they decided to take on a challenge, and they collected quarters. The children collected quarters. Here they are. I know for a fact that many of those families are struggling. And Father, they came alongside and did such a stupendous job in touching at least 100 children's lives by providing water. But not only that, they celebrated it. They came together and we had a presentation where we shared with them, this is more about the children you're helping. So it's such a learning lesson to bring us closer together. We've had, oh goodness, grown football players together in an auditorium, or girls that are running different things in their government of their school, and just true leaders come together and design their own program to raise money. Think of new ways to collect and to change lives. And they're really emotionally invested. They really care. I've seen many take it on as a lifelong cause after, just from being able to be hands-on.
And past Lent, schools can still be involved, can't they, in a variety of ways?
Most definitely. We have a lot of ways that schools can be involved. Of course, Wells of Salvation, we're doing right now for the Water Challenge, but also we have Box of Joy. It's a Christmas box program that many of
Oh.
the schools at Duke and Alton participated in, right? It's a Christmas box, and the schools order how many they think their students can fulfill. We ship them out with all the materials, and then the students we'll fill up the boxes with school supplies, clothing, toys, and we have different age groups so that they can even match their own age if they want to. And we ask for them to help supply $9 to ship the box. That box comes back to us at Cross, and we put a rosary and a story of Jesus in every box. And I believe now, over the last 10 years, we've blessed over 600,000 children across the world, from children here
Wow.
participating and families participating.
That's an exciting program, and I'm sure that there's as much excitement generated in putting the Box of Joy together as there is in receiving it.
Oh, Father, there is within the boxes of joy, we have to screen them. We have to make sure at our screening center that there's no bottles of water. It would ruin the box if we shipped it and it exploded. But what we get to see are beautiful notes from our children here in the United States to children that they don't even know in countries all around the world these boxes are going to. And they're just sharing their love of Christ with these children, their families with these children. It's beautiful, beautiful to see.
So the Wells of Salvation project at the time, it involves two countries. What's your vision beyond that? Are there other countries that you would love to go to if you had the resources?
Yes, we do serve many partners around the United States. As I mentioned, we had 90 different countries overall, and I'd say in any given year it's probably around 36, and usually a lot of the same because we believe in long-term partnerships. So yes, there's just such a need across the world. I'd say right now we're really focused in Dominican Republic, helping the diocese with water wells. We're helping in Nicaragua, not only to provide water, but then to take it a next step. The other programs that they're bringing in are microfinance, increasing farmers' ability to now use this water and plant and reap more within their gardens. So there's much need across the world for water.
I'm just amazed at just the breadth that you all are addressing at Cross Catholic Outreach, and there, I can imagine that the need can almost look overwhelming.
And Father, again, it's we have two arms to our support. We have cash grants that we provide, like I'm suggesting, to build wells or houses, and we also have a material aid team. That's a team that ships material items that are needed. Food insecurity around the world is so huge, and so at Cross Catholic Outreach, we ship a lot of food to various countries, metal roofing. So why am I describing this? Well, what we do is we send out to our partners at the beginning of our fiscal year that receive this material aid. What do you need? What is it that you need? And we get back, because it's all demand driven. So we get back and we combine it all. If we were able to answer all that need, it would be over 640-foot long tractor trailers. And we are blessed to have funds from generous Catholics around the United States to ship 300 of those containers. So the need always, as it says in the Bible, is always going to be there. But who you impact one person at a time is such an inspiration, is so huge. And the fact that we are able to stay long term, we can be a strong partnership together with these amazing leaders around the world, but the need is always there. It's always there.
Here on Follow to Lead, it's kind of a unique platform in that we do speak to administrators and to teachers across the United States, and we even have some in other countries that are either watching or listening to the podcast. And so here you have an opportunity to share your heart. And as you look at the needs of the world, and I would have to say that here in the United States, there's a tendency for us to be looking inward rather than outward. Do you have anything in your heart you'd like to share just in general with our teachers, our administrators, and others?
That's so beautiful. I see around the world the beauty of those that have less, but the strength of their faith. And you see the fruits of that. They don't have, perhaps, and community leaders may not have as much time because they're just barely surviving on a couple dollars a day. They're barely surviving. Yet they're volunteering and they're coming alongside the water committee, the housing committee. They're giving to their other brothers and sisters. I believe that the teachers all around the world are pivotal. We all know that that's what's going to change poverty, right? Is our Catholic schools and education the hope? So when I look at our mission statement, it says mobilize the global church. We want to support here. We want to educate here in the United States. That's part of our mission statement. We want to partner with teachers to help, to give them aids, to give them video access, to give them the activity guide, to be able to connect them with the update anyway, to give them hands-on faith and action activities. The whole purpose of that is to engage the fire in their hearts for the Lord and to serve. And so I hope that we can support the heroes here in the United States, which I consider all teachers to
Right, yeah. It I love what you're saying because Cross Catholic Outreach does not just ask for something, but they from the schools. It's not like just taking, but it's giving to the schools as well. So they can educate, they can make their classrooms places of information and resource about what's going on in the world. That will help to inform their decisions. And I know that's going to make a huge, huge difference.
I agree with you. I from beginning to end, the Wells of Salvation Water Challenge has all the tools the teachers need. And within our team, we have beautiful staff members that just want to come alongside and even provide even more if they need it, because it's important. It's important. It's part of our calling to really come alongside Catholics here, students, Knights of Columbus. When we work with the Knights of Columbus, it's how can we partner with you? What is your need? And how can we facilitate that? And that is true partnership, right? That is true partnership. And the church is doing amazing things. And that's inspiring. When you see success and you see, we hear so many negative things, the church is transforming the world. They're doing beautiful acts of service, and the bishops are leading just the most beautiful outreaches. It's true charity, right? It's true charity. It's love. And so if we can teach our children how to love more, I think we would be pleasing our Lord greatly, right? Because it's all from Him, so.
That's so true. Amen. Michelle, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking time to be with us on Follow to Lead today. This has just been delightful.
I have loved it too. I feel very aligned with your mission. Faith forward, right? So
That's right.
that's
Faith
right.
forward. And you were at our summit last fall. And
Yes, my team was there, and many of the schools that participate within your ministry had already engaged in different activities that we've just discussed. So I'm really hoping that, they'll come alongside this campaign as well, and they find us as a trusted partner.
well, that's really it is a beautiful fit, I think, between Cross Catholic Outreach and Duke and Altum Schools, that we do desire more than anything else just to serve Christ and express that in our love for one another. That's, in fact, the gospel for today in the Daily Mass was about the two great commandments, and one is to love your neighbor as yourself, and part of that love is to provide wells for those around the world.
I agree.
Now, we mentioned it before. Where can people go to find out more on the web about Cross Catholic Outreach?
They can go to crosscatholic.org, and it will be on our homepage if you scroll down a little bit. And if you want to go right to the activity booklet that I mentioned, since I know you have so many schools and teachers listening to your podcast, you can go to crosscatholic.org/Lent and engage in some more activities, even though we're coming down to the middle, I suppose, of
Yeah.
Lent.
Well, again, thank you so much for being with us today. This has really been a great delight. And for information about the Duke and Altum Schools Collaborative, I would also invite you to go to our website at diaschools.org. And if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow our podcast on your local podcast platform. And be sure to leave a comment to encourage us toward future programming. May Almighty God bless you.
We'd like to thank you for joining us on this episode of Follow to Lead, a production of the Duke and Altham Schools Collaborative. To learn more about finding your own path in your journey of faith, or for more information on what we discussed in today's episode, you are invited to follow us on social media and visit us on the web at diaschools.org. To provide a one-time donation or monthly pledge, please visit our website. Your gift will aid us in providing up-to-date information, additional resources, and other support on how to take Catholic education to a higher level. We look forward to helping you follow God's call to lead others to God, right here on Follow to Lead.